Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm very excited today. We're going to talk about The Wizard of Oz as a mythological story with author Jean Houston. She's the author of the new book, The Wizard of Us, Transformational Lessons from Oz. So Dr. Jean Houston, the author of nearly 30 books, she's a scholar, philosopher, researcher in human capacities, and is one of the most foremost visionary thinkers and doers of our time, one of the principal founders of the Human Potential Movement. She's the founder and principal teacher of the Mystery School, a school of human development, program of cross-cultural, mythic, and spiritual studies. And since 2003, she has been working with the United Nations Development Program, training leaders in developing countries throughout the world in the new field of social artistry. And she has worked in probably 107 countries and 40 different cultures, and she is a leader in this social artistry leadership training. In her new book, The Wizard of Us, she offers a new understanding of the human condition, the importance of myth, and the critical nature of our role and how we can participate in the creation of a better world. It's a call to bring your journey forward to uncover your inner hero and become the essential human you were always meant to be. Through this mythic lens, we discover how Dorothy's adventure in a magical land inspires our lives today. The story propels us to look at all the aspects in our lives and what has stopped us from being our essential, true, authentic selves. So we can relate to all the characters in the story. When have you not felt you didn't have courage, or you weren't in touch with your heart, or you felt you didn't have a brain? We all go through this. And through the story, Jean takes you through a journey to learn to thrive rather than merely to survive, and offers valuable tools to guide us through our challenging times. So it's a profound adventure of self-discovery and awakened potential to propel you into a greater self-understanding and a connection to the larger world story as you explore Oz. You can visit her website at www.jeanhouston.com. So welcome, Jean, to Voices of Women.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's a great pleasure to be back with you again.
Yes, we've had a few conversations. And
maybe 40 or 50 or so.
Yeah. Well, first, I wanted to hear your story, how you were first drawn to The Wizard of Oz, and particularly, you know, as a myth. You're a storyteller par excellence. So.
Well, you know, I remember back in the early 40s, my father was working in Hollywood on the lots and writing comedy things. He was writing that joke, Who's On First, you know, for Abbott and Costello. He would take me everywhere. And so he left me once on, he said, don't worry, kid, I'll be back I'll be back very soon. Well, very soon turned out to be 2 hours. And there I was on the MGM lot. I think it was MGM. But what happened is that the collective of the unconscious of the human race went by. Here was Marie Antoinette and the whole French court, because they were doing over 365 films a year in those days. And so here comes the French court when they, you know, from one studio lot. And I noticed that Marie Antoinette was wearing tennis shoes in spite of her ball gown. And then there was Dorothy L'Amour dressed as a South Pacific beauty. And she was talking to a knight in armor from the 12th century. That was all. But what really got me was a midget pushing a baby carriage left over from a lot of midgets in that time left over from The Wizard of Oz, the movie, you know. And I naturally followed the midget with the baby carriage. So that was my first introduction. Then, of course, seeing the picture umpteen times. And then in the 1980s, 85, 86, creating something called the Possible Society. And what we did, you know, with the help of the Department of Commerce, went to 17 cities, never had less than 900 people, often as many as 1,500. We charged like, I don't know, $25, $30 for the whole weekend, and that included two lunches. And I used The Wizard of Oz as a myth of the transformation of society, of self and society. And it had a tremendous effect. And we then, when we worked with the mayors and we worked with the boys and girls clubs and really whole creative folk of the whole town would show up for these things. And it, we left ongoing projects, ongoing teaching learning communities that then kept growing internally using some of our methods and bringing this internal growth to transformational things in the community, from cleaning up the beaches in Santa Cruz to creating the something of the green economy in Vancouver. And some of those groups still continue after all these years. That was 85. So it's always been a piece of my life from my early childhood on. And then I was asked to write a mainline book. Jane, your books are very complex. Write, for God's sakes, a mainline book. Well, with what? Well, I don't know. Take a, instead of writing about Odysseus and Inanna, write something that people can relate to immediately. And I thought, well, The Wizard of Oz, Wizard of Oz. It has everything. It has the heroine's journey as opposed to the hero's journey, which is really quite different, by the way, although it follows some of the same tracks. It has the longing that is there to get out of an outmoded situation. It is arriving into a place of effulgent beauty and sensory splendor after being in Dust Bowl, Kansas. It has new allies of disenfranchised heart and mind and spirit. It has archetypal beings who pop in and out of good and evil. It has the lure of the green world, the possible society, the Emerald City. And it comes down also to the meeting of a wizardry, a magic, and an effulgent richness of psyche and soul that is the wizard in us. So it's a perfect story for our time. You see.
Yes, it's like timeless. And, you know, it's, and it's probably the number one movie on many people's lists.
Yeah, pretty close to it, yes.
Yeah, and there's that, you know, there's that childlike aspect that we're drawn to it because of this story is so rich. And I don't know if people really know why they're so drawn. And you're bringing that out in the book.
Well, it's simply told and beautifully told. And of course, there's been many, many attempts from musicals to, you know, sequels or prequels. There's one out right now, you know, called Oz, which follows the wizard before he ever got there. And, you know, with sumptuous visuals. It's not exactly my version of Oz, but it's lots of fun. And there's new musicals coming out, there's songs, there's all kinds of psychoanalytic reflections. I mean, Oz is us these days. Because I think we're in that place of, like Dorothy, knowing profoundly that we live in an outmoded situation. You have only to look at the ecology and know that if we continue the way we are, the human race has maybe 200 years, you know, and then we will just become, you know, sort of monstrous versions of ourselves, the few that remain, or we'll have to go out to Mars or asteroids or to get off planet. But these are the big years. These are the years of yearning. These are the years of the ecological breakdown, which, of course, is what you see in Dust Bowl, Kansas. This is the year in which something that I find, because all over the world, is people are in this incredible state of yearning that I think is beyond any yearning level that has ever really been known before. You know, my claim to fame is that I am one of the best traveled human beings who's ever lived. I mean, having worked in 108 countries, probably have been in many, many more than that. But everywhere I go, there's two incredible things I see. Immense yearning, and of course the rise of women, slowly but surely, to full partnership with men in the whole domain of human affairs, with terrible backlash, but it is happening. And this is changing everything. So I think it's very interesting that a book that explores Dorothy and her adventure in Oz from a feminine perspective and from the heroine's journey is very important. So you might say, you know, well, what is the difference? Well, it begins in similar ways. Outmoded situation, the call to adventure. And you see Dorothy, and especially in the movie with Judy Garland, with that incredible voice. I describe it as being like filled with plums, you know, the 16-year-old voice that she had. It was so extraordinary. And that yearning that speaks to each one of us. And then, of course, the ecological breakdown that is there of the Dust Bowl, and which was actually going on at the time that this was being written, being made. And then, of course, the fact of being unheard. Yearning, unheard. Auntie M, oh, go away, Dorothy, can't you see we're counting our chickens? You know, it was the American way of life, the counting, the material, the sense of frustration, of inadequacy. And then, of course, the new age, you know, Professor Marvel, who's a very sweet guy. He sells a lot of hokum, but the fact is he has a deep knowledge of the human heart. And sends her back to the house where, of course, she is then going to be met by a tornado. Now, that's very important because how many of us, how many people listening have found that the only ways that they get on with it, really on with it, or one of the main ways, is the tornado, the kick in the pants, whatever it took to get them
yes,
out.
Yes, that's so true. Yeah, and we'll come back and talk about that because I think that's so true. We all have our tornadoes. This is Christanus. You're listening to Voices of Women. When we come back, we will explore more about The Wizard of Us with Jane Houston.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams, or to schedule your Soul Breakthrough Session with Saskia, or call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861. Or visit YourSoulGuidance.com. That's YourSoulGuidance.com to receive the Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 days.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common? Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate with Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
Women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Dr. Jean Houston today, author of the new book, The Wizard of Us, Transformational Lessons from Oz. So we were just talking about that tornado that took Dorothy to another world, and how we all, you know, which is, a, you know, when tornadoes hit us, we think we're in the worst possible situation. And there's a real lesson there of how that can take you to some new place. I mean, that's probably the reason the universe sends you that tornado, don't you think?
Well, it is the cosmic kick in the pants that says it's time to get on with it, whether it is a divorce or illness or just in women's lives, especially just having too much to do. I mean, you have your profession often, you have your household, you have the cooking, cleaning, and everything. You are completely interruptible. That's what I find. I mean, I realize in my life I have many of the women's roles, I have many of the men's roles, and I have roles that nobody ever thought of before. You know, and so it just, you know, I'm somewhat in, what should I say? Because I haven't read the book, but the COO of Facebook, you know. Sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sure. I want to read that too.
Who says, "Well, work harder, women. You know, lean in, especially in business." And I don't know. Women have a different sense of timing, so I really can't comment on the book until I've read it. But I think that the sheer muchness of women's lives. I don't know that you add anything else, but you do work, you work better. You work, you expand your capacities and your potential so that you can do things with greater fluidity. But also, and this is the great lesson from the Wizard of Oz, you do it in a team. Now, in the hero's journey, the hero may also cross over into another kind of realm, and he will also have allies, but they're not real teammates. Whereas with Dorothy, you know, first of all, she gets herself a divine ally. She gets the wicked, the beautiful witch, the great witch, who is really a consummate part of higher guidance, deep feeling, loving, compassionate, empowering. You know, so this greatly expands the whole notion of so-called witch. You should also know that Frank Baum was a feminist who wrote The Wizard of Oz. His wife and his mother-in-law were both leading suffragettes, and he was a feminist. And so he was writing a book from a somewhat of a feminist perspective, in which the main character is a young woman, actually a child in the book, and an adolescent in the other story. But the important part of this, Chris, is that you know, after the call, they're in the refusal of the call, you know, and everything's going to stop you. And then finally the great hurricane or whatever it is going to carry you over. And then you end up in a world where you have to enhance all your senses because it's a different world. Doesn't look like dusty gray Kansas. Oh, Dodo, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. And it's the same thing that we all say when we really tap into our sources of creativity or nature or deep seeing and or being available to the sheer suchness of glory that is life on this planet. You know, we're not in the old ways anymore should we decide to really open up to the enormous potential that we contain. I mean, what are the red ruby slippers about? They are about not only, they're about what she always had within her but had not known. And the great road of adventure is that road. So when she is put onto the yellow brick road, you know, what happens? She is then on the road of spiritual pollen, and who she meets is the disempowered parts of herself, of mind, of heart, and of courage. Now, what I do in the book for each stage is that I provide ideas, contexts, even processes and exercise to activate the sensory realm for the arrival knots, to really reflect on what the tornadoes have been in our life and where they've taken us, to reflect on our yearning, to reflect on who or what is our higher guidance and how to get in touch with what I call entelechy. And by entelechy, we know it is the entelechy of an acorn to be an oak tree. It's the entelechy of a baby to be a grown-up human being. It's the entelechy, the second order genesis, the higher forms of ourselves to be so much, much, much more than we ever thought we could be. And I'm a zealot on that, because, you know, I do not think we're going to survive our time or have this wondrous opportunity that is ours to really profoundly make a difference unless we start working it from inside out, as you, Chris, have been doing with Women, you know, Wisdom for, 20 odd years. And I'm just thinking in your own life, Chris, how, you know, your stick-to-itness and the fact that you have been so committed has had the effect in tens of thousands and through the ripple effect, hundreds and hundreds of thousands and probably millions of people's lives, yes?
Well, I couldn't count, but I do know there's been thousands have come through the door when you talk 20 years. And, you know, what was it, 8 years ago, we used to do this for 9 days. Mm-hmm. Now it's just a 4-day conference. But if you can imagine and going into something for that long of a time and really embracing that, you know, and you talked earlier about that yearning, and there is such a yearning right now. And there's also an unknowing. I'm working with people that kind of, we don't know, what is our next step? The old ways don't work anymore, and we're trying to figure out the new way. And so maybe you can touch on that, because this is like we're being thrown in this tornado and we're going up to this place that we don't know. And we're all kind of, it feels like a state of limbo because we don't know the new rules. The old rules, like just getting your business out there, marketing, for instance, that's the one thing we were talking about with my friends. They don't work anymore. And what is going to work? And I just think we're in this place of being in transition and letting it's germinating, you know, so don't, like, we can't force it and try to figure it out right now, but something is brewing. I mean, I'm sure you can feel
it. Well, it's like being in February and early March in the world, at least in this part of the tempered part of the world, and that the seeds are just thinking about quickening up, and you have no idea what the plants are going to look like. I mean, you have high hopes for them. But we're in this great, great seeding period where we have, you know, it's interesting that the Dalai Lama made a statement 4 or 5 years ago that shocked me, where he said he thought if the world was going to survive, it was going to be Western women. And I was thinking of all the Eastern women and the women on the North-South axis, you know, and who were doing tremendous stuff. But I know what he meant, that we are seeding the rest of the world because of our time, our education, our relative well-offness, you know, compared to other places. And so we're in the seeding time. We are about to emerge and pop through that shell of forgetfulness or unknowing and begin to move in the rich loam of our present circumstances up into the air and the sunlight and the reality. So yes, everybody's having this conversation. What does it look like? What's going to emerge? How do we make it happen? But what is the vision of the possible? Right now, I'm involved in monthly Skype calls with anywhere between 5 to 8 very, very, very potent women. That's the only way I could describe them. Many of their names you would know, people like Hazel Henderson, you know. And what we're doing, and this is an idea I've had for some time, so I just said, well, let's do it, is what does the world designed by women, meaning or redesigned, what does it look like? What does it feel like? How does it work as a whole? How does it work in individual cultures or nations? How do we have sufficiency of food? How do we have sufficiency of water? How do we really crack down on this whole ecological stuff and really have alternative energies instead of burning carbons? You know, how do we do this? What does it look like? What will the final product be? Knowing that there'll be immense changes, but I've got some of the great women in the world meeting on Skype on a regular basis so that we can begin this new design. What is Oz in the, meaning the whole earth in the feminist or in the women's perspective really look and feel like? Because one of the things that I find in my work all over the world is that there is a lack of a sense of what could be. There's a lack of a sense of the totality, of the lure of becoming. We go and we look at health, or we look at education, or we look at jobs, but very rarely do we look at a world that works, and I think this is where we are right now. And this is something where women will make massive contributions.
Oh, I think so, too. And I think we're, you just being on Skype with all these great women.
Yes.
It's about getting together. And that's what the internet has brought. It can bring us together because you can connect to people. I mean, I've been told, okay, take Women of Wisdom. They're hungry for this in Australia, China, India. It's about that Western woman going out there. I got that message like, oh, this is what the Dalai Lama is talking about. It's bringing what we have learned, gleaned from all the work we've done, and certainly they've done work too, but they're hungry for this. And through the internet, we can bring this about. And so it's about community. It's about, we can't do it alone. And sometimes we got to get out of our homes. You get stuck in our own little world. And then you feel, you know, like Dorothy being in the house, being tossed around when the tornado's taken her somewhere. You're all alone. You don't know what to do. And we can't do it alone anymore. And so we're really called to reach out and be with others of like mind, of similar interests and similar goals to, how can we create this world? And what is my part? What's my gifts and what can I bring? Well, this is Chris Danis. You're listening to Voices of Women. When we come back, we're going to explore this mythic journey even more with Jean Houston.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Michelle Bond Show. Awaken to a new reality. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. This call-in show with Vedic astrologer, expert, and holistic health practitioner Michelle Bond will give you insight to a wide range of topics. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information and restores your health and well-being through learning the latest complementary and alternative medicine modalities. Visit themichellebondshow.com.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusGeneration.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Women of Wisdom.
Well, welcome back. This is Voices of Women, and I'm Chris Stainis. And the song you heard is our Woman of Wisdom CD, which you can purchase on our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. It's got great songs from amazing women singers, Holly Neer, Rihanna, and Libby Roderick, and many others. So, Jean, could you please give your contact information, your website, where people can find your books, your new book particularly?
Well, The Wizard of Us is in many bookstores. You know, it's doing fairly well, so you do find it in the Barnes & Nobles and all the places like that. But you can also get it online from Amazon. It's less expensive on Amazon, of course. And you can also get it on Kindle or Nook, you know, any of the, as an ebook. And it's so it's very easily available. Those people, if you wanted to go Kindle or that thing, you could have it in 1 minute. and to be in touch with me in all the different seminars and programs that I'm giving, including a big free one in New York coming up on, I think, around May 25th or so, you just go to my website, JeanHouston.com or JeanHouston.org. And you will find all kinds of programs. I have a very important one coming up on the 11th of April in Cape Cod. That's a 5-day salon that actually goes on in terms of training you for 6 months after that.
Great.
So there's one in Cape Cod, and then it's parallel will be up here in Ashland, Oregon, in my home in early May. Anyway, there's lots of things that people can join and be part of, or at least go to my website and sign up to be on the email mailing list, and you'll get all kinds of news and goodies all the time. Or my Facebook, Jean Houston page. Or my Twitter is just Jean Houston. And I put up stuff all the time, ideas, reflections, exercises. So it's a lot of fun.
It's great. Well, speaking of exercises, I know you have a lot of exercises in the book. Is there something you'd like to offer the listeners now that would be beneficial to them?
All right, let's take the Glinda exercise. And that's the entelechy. And I said it's the entelechy means the deep, deep purposefulness that is trying to actualize the next levels, the next possibilities of our lives. If we can consider it our essence being, or perhaps even our higher guidance. So what I would like people who are, if you're just listening on the internet, and put up both hands, if you've got your hand clasped about a phone, put up one hand, like patty cake. And I want you to imagine for the next several minutes that standing opposite you is the great essential friend, the Glinda, if you will, the high self, the entelechy. The one who knows all your follies and all your glories. The one who is there deeply for you. Yourself as if you'd had 10,000 years to do your human homework and develop the optimal essence being of yourself, the entelechy. And as you begin to keep your hand up, imagine that this entelechy, this higher self, is touching your hands like a kind of patty cake, a kind of divine cosmic patty cake. And you can feel yourself knowing yourself being so deeply loved by this higher being, this entelechy. So deeply loved, so richly seen, so profoundly acknowledged. And you know yourself and you feel yourself being felt by the entelechy and being so deeply loved, affirmed, nourished. You actually feel a subtle but rich and delightful nourishment going through your body, mind, psyche. You are cherished by this being. Loved, empowered, cherished. It's as if you can feel the different capacities in yourself that may have been pushed aside for too long, being activated again. And this wonderful streaming of delight, like endorphins, flowing through your body, mind, but knowing that you are facing this, we'll call them the great friend of your life, this entelechy, who is looking upon you with so much love, so much affirmation. And you receive and receive, and you know that this great friend also knows the potential pathways for your life, where you can do, what you can do, can actually create in you and help with you to create creative intentions for your life. And you feel these intentions of things that you truly want to do, be, explore, be of service for. This kind of intentionality is also empowered, cherished, actualized in you as you are in this great relationship, should you choose, for the rest of your life, starting today, with this high self, this entelechy. And that's a very brief version of the process I offer.
Oh, I know. And it goes in deeper in the book. You go even beyond that. Yes. And that's, yeah, tapping into that, what you call a quantum partner.
Quantum partner, yes. Quantum has become a catch-all word, like love and schizophrenia these days.
I know.
And we just modulate it, but and meaning that it has much more of a universal form. And yet it's both local to you and it's non-local. It's a part of the universe. We have to remember that we do not simply just live in the universe, but the universe profoundly lives in us as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's tapping into the fact that we have allies we can call on, and Dorothy found them in Oz, but we're also we often have to deal with setbacks, and in the book, you know, it all through the book, there are setbacks. Like, for instance, the field of poppies, you know, where they go to sleep, and how that happens in real life. So,
I find that fascinating, Chris, because that's one of my favorite parts. And people just think of it as just some sort of, you know, distraction, but it isn't. That too often we nearly get to a goal and then suddenly we diverge. We go to sleep. We say, oh, well, maybe later. I'm not quite ready for it yet. And we get distracted. You know, let me play another 100 games of solitaire, or let me just, go and do and veg out for a while or whatever. But this is part of what we call the entropy effect in life. Entropy, as you know, is the building up of the running down of energy. It is that which tries to constrain us so that we don't get to the castle, so we don't get to the place that we need to be. And it's something that is, it's not necessarily an enemy, because, you know, a gardener can be in this entropic process. You have to pull out the weeds. You have to contain the growth. And so often we go to sleep because we're not quite ready. But if we stay asleep and Glenda doesn't come along, the archetype, the entelechy, it is often, I mean, it has to wake you up and say, what does Glenda do? She puts light, lovely snow that goes on your eyes while your teammates, you know, try the ones who at least are of flesh, like they do the lion, you know, and the teammates can get you awake again. And this is something that we have to know. Do not fall asleep. In so many of the world scriptures, do not fall asleep. But if you do fall asleep, you really will know what you're doing and do the best to call upon your higher guidance, your spiritual self, to wake you up again.
So again, it's calling on, it's not living alone. It's calling on, you know, it's about accountability too. Like having perhaps a group of friends that keep you in that, make you accountable.
The higher guidance. Yes. You know, there's a practice in Northern India that I learned about. It's so funny and delightful. There, of course, the theology is somewhat different, and it's a person is going into a kind of a downer or a bummer place, they say, will you be God for me, please, for 3 months? And your friend said, yeah, I'll be God for you for 3 months. I'll tell you what to do. I will hold your excellence until you're ready to pick it up again. And so, but it's the very fact that we are held to our highest being. And that's why it's always good to have what I call teaching learning communities among, well, your family, your friends, or wherever, church. But it's a community of growth. It is not, it's not a psychotherapeutic community. It just is not. That's a different kind of community. It's a growth community. And this is something that women around the world, as you know, and in fact have incited, you know, in so many hundreds of groups, dear Chris, where people, women get together, and men too, and they grow together. They meet. They share. It's not a psychotherapeutic community. I cannot stress that enough. That's a different kind of community. But this is a growth community. You can use my books, other people's books, whatever it takes, or your own inspiration, and begin to actualize and grow in body and mind and psyche together. And then from that level of emergent wonder, excellence, excitement, you then decide what you'd like to individually or collectively do to make a better world in your own community or beyond. But this comes from the strengthening from inside out, not from outside in. It's not working out of the ought. Well, I really ought to do this. I really ought to help. And that will carry you only so far, but then you start doing, you know, these good things with no passion. You really want passion and commitment to do things. And if you're actualizing your body, your mind, your psyche together in like Dorothy did, you know, with her team in community, then almost anything becomes possible. That's why Margaret Mead wrote that never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wise words. And yeah, we're in the same boat of Women of Wisdom. We are working together to recreate, and it's we have that supportive community and have grown together over the years. Well, this is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. We are going to take a little break. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Jean Houston.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking to the Dr. Jean Houston, author of The Wizard of Us, Transformational Lessons from Oz. So, Jean, we'd have a shorter segment here getting towards the end, but I really enjoyed two aspects in your book that I want to touch on. One is about the brain. I mean, there's this whole, every chapter has, you know, the different aspects of the different characters, but all that, all the research that, and I mean, sometimes we think our brain's our brain, and we're not so, you know, we're limited in our brain, and that this is what we know, or this is what we can do, or we're getting older, we're starting to lose our memory. But talk to us about that, because there's a lot of research of how that's not necessarily true.
No, it isn't true. The brain is incredibly malleable. We used to think you just got a certain number of brain cells and then they died. The opposite is true. The brain is growing all the time and making new connections. The issue of restructuring the brain, and I refer to a very fine book about the brain that makes itself, Norman Doidge's book, the brain that changes itself is actually the title. But we do know that you can recreate your brain at every moment. And that's one of the things that I do to help people get their brain sharper, more acute, living, excited, and then, of course, activating you, your conscious self, with that. So, you know, then, so when I do that one around the character of the Scarecrow, you know, who thinks he hasn't got a brain, but he turns out to be brilliant. And as I often say, I've never met a stupid child. I've met incredibly stupid and diminishing forms of education. But I have never met a stupid adult, really, although they try very hard sometimes to convince me otherwise. But the fact is, we can, by taking consciousness note, doing certain kinds of exercises, and I give several throughout the book that, you know, have grown out of years and years of our own neurophysiological research that really begin to activate the brain along patterns of greater intelligence, usefulness, understanding, and creativity.
Yes, and I think that word creativity, and that's how I think you talk about just spending time to be creative is one way how that activates and the brain of drawing or writing or just doing something or exercising, they even say now, improves your brain, your memory and your brain function. So I actually had a flash this morning, like, I'm going to do a dream board every night. I did one last night. Just, you know, it doesn't take that long. I've got magazines. I pull up pictures. I take a little board and I slap things together. And it's my intuitive self coming out. And when you look at the picture, you know, it speaks to you. It's like, wow, oh, this is what's going on. You know, you get a lot of messages that way.
You do, because when you're using pictures and drawing or singing or poeticizing about things, invariably other parts of the brain are being used, you see. So you're cooking on more burners. You're bringing more mind to bear upon anything you want to do. And thus, everything that you want to do has a much greater spectrum of talents and skills and tools to draw upon.
Yeah, and that's It's one of the tools we can use to get out of that stuck place that we were talking about, the la-la land when we get in the poppy field. You know, sometimes you just need a kick in the butt, and it can be just doing that, picking up a I was at a workshop this weekend, and they had us do drawing ourselves with just keeping the crayon to the paper, and having a mirror and doing a self-portrait of your face, but then also doing it with your non-dominant hand. And this is, it's a very interesting experience, but going to that non-dominant hand really is quite enlightening and brings out the same thing. It gets the mind working in a different way. It's very creative.
Very, very, very creative indeed. Very much so.
Well, the end of your book, I want to talk about, you talk about a new renaissance, you know, and you bring in the renaissance and the 1400s and all these amazing things that happened in this short amount of time, 100 years or whatever. And that you kind of allude to, well, we're in a new renaissance time right now. And again, we talked about it, is like, okay, what is, we feel something brewing and we don't quite know what it is, but it's like we're launching our human lives, our world into a new place. And it's like we're going into, there is a new renaissance somehow happening.
Well, I believe so. Renaissance is and not just a revival of the ancient world as it was in the 15th to 17th century. It is an activation of new perspectives, new contexts. And whereas in the Renaissance, you had, you know, depth perception of inner and outer realities. Leonardo da Vinci writing his great monograph on perspective that then opened up perspective in seeing and hearing and feeling and astronomy and telescopes and microscopes and engines that couldn't be there before they had perspective, and depth in painting and polyphony in music. I mean, all the incredible things that happened. Well, a great deal more is happening now. Now we have the harvest of many, many cultures from all over the world. Now we have a technology that has the world mind taking a walk with itself. Now we have every moment a whole new perspective on the cosmos, both the cosmos without and within. Now we have a revolution in the understanding of the depth and breadth of our humanity and what we can be. Now we have the rise of women to full partnership with men, slowly but surely, but it's happening. This is the renaissance of renaissances, clearly.
And so what I kind of was speaking about, too, is some of us feel like we don't have a map of how to get there. It's like we're planting the seeds, as you said. It's springtime, time to plant the seeds, and we'll see what comes up. But what would be your last words of advice for the people who are listening to the show?
Well, it's always the fact that you are enormously lucky. You've won two Olympics. The first one is you are the sperm and ovum that made it. In fact, many of those sperms swimming up to meet just this particular unique ovum, and you're the one that made it. Now, that's a major Olympics. The second major Olympics is that you're living in the most interesting time in human history. Other times in history thought they were it. They're wrong. This is it. This is where we have a sufficiency of culture, of consciousness, of complexity, of challenge, of need that is calling upon you to rise to the challenge. And you're listening to this particular program that is really encouraging you, creating the energy of possibilities. There are the books there. There are the people, everybody. Most people, believe it or not, are in a state of yearning. This is the time to rise to this. You have won two of the great Olympics of the cosmos on the earth at this time in history.
Well, that's a nice place to end. You know, you feel pretty good when you're winning the Olympics. You can be on top of the world, and I hope people pay attention to that. And if you're down in the dumps, to realize you are just in that tornado and it's going to take you somewhere great. Well, thank you, Jean. It's great to talk with you today.
It's wonderful to talk to you, Chris. So my little book is called The Wizard of Us, and they can reach me at jeanhouston.com.
Great. Yes, I encourage people to check out your website. So I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today. How does your life's journey compare with Dorothy's? Who is your Glinda, your quantum partner? What archetype are you needing to work on now to propel you forward to your authentic self at this very moment? So I want to invite people to sign up for the monthly Women of Wisdom newsletter at www.womenofwisdom.org. Find out about our monthly events and what we're up to. We're putting out a call. If you're a writer, have a passion in a field of interest to our readers who are predominantly women, you might consider being a columnist for the newsletter. We're looking for empowering articles. Just contact us at wow@womenofwisdom.org. And I also want to invite you to join our financial campaign. If you live in Washington State, we are part of a survey on your thoughts of how we can improve our education system. And it's going to be delivered to our state government in Olympia. And just at the end of it, mark Woman of Wisdom at the end of the survey as the partner that you want to receive the grant. We've already raised $1,500 in the last 2 weeks, and we have just little less than 100 more surveys. We will receive a total of $2,500. So that helps us, keeps us going, keeps us empowering women and doing the great programs that we do for women. So you would go to the survey at communityforumsnetwork.org, communityforumsnetwork.org. And again, it continues through March 31st, and we thank you for your support. Well, I'm Chris Stainis, the founder of Women of Wisdom Conference and the organization. Also, I have the Amazon best-selling book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. It's a great book, great gift to give to friends. Someone needs inspiration in their life. It's just like our conference. It has changed women's lives. Jean Houston has a chapter in the book, and you can purchase that at www.womenofwisdom.org. Come next week, I'll be interviewing Ruth Miller on her new book, As We Think, So We Are. So have a great weekend, everybody, and thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.